Welcome back to the Pew Review, guys. My name's Matt. This is Jed, lead minister here at Whiting Christian Church. And we're so glad that you've taken time out of your day to join us. We're going to be answering some questions today that we've gotten from the congregation. Some really good content that's coming your way. And if you have questions for additional ideas for the show, any additional questions you have about faith, most recent sermon content, anything that's going on at Whiting Christian Church, please send your questions to 833-430-6152. You ready to go, buddy?
Let's do it.
Let's get into it. So our first question of the day, what was the purpose of pouring earth or dust upon the head of a person? And it sounds to me like they're talking about ashes, like for grief.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of either one. It's talked about in the Bible all the time.
Yeah.
And I think even when this question came in, they had, half a dozen passages along with this.
Sure.
So it's sometimes it's dust, sometimes it's ash. And what I find interesting is that it wasn't just Israel that did this. Mm-hmm. This wasn't unique to them. We actually see this several times in ancient history. And I think a reason for that is because of the origin of humans.
Okay, so it's not just locally to Israel, but it's multiple cultures.
Yeah.
Does it span across both Testaments, Old and New?
I would assume so. I can't think of a New Testament
reference.
The top of my head, but yes, I would say so. Mm-hmm. And so, and part of this is, it's not just, a lot of times the natural thought of this is we can think back to Genesis.
Sure.
So Genesis 2 verse 7, God's creating man and specifically Adam and Eve. And then in verse 7, he says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground, mm-hmm. and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being." Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the answer to this, the short answer, so if you want to skip to the next question after I answer, don't do that. But the short answer is it's because it's connected to the origin of humans.
Okay.
That we are created from the dust of the ground. And so we're going to get into that more here in a second.
Sure.
But as I said, it's not... What makes this obvious is the fact that it's in so many cultures. Mm-hmm. And there's several different cultures of the time, and a lot of the popular ones, all their mythology all pointed to humans being created from earth. Mm-hmm. And so the Sumerians, they have an ancient writing, the Eridu Genesis, talks about humans being formed from clay. Mm-hmm. The Akkadians, they have an ancient writing, Atrahasis, same thing. The Greeks, Prometheus, in Greek mythology, formed human beings. He was a titan, formed human beings from clay. Mm-hmm. The Chinese, I'm assuming it's pronounced Nua, same thing, formed out of clay. And so I think, why do so many cultures believe this? Well, I think it has to do with how we treat our dead. Mm-hmm. What do? We bury them, mm-hmm. right? We either bury them or we cremate them. Those are kind of the two traditional ways throughout most all of history in which we treat bodies. Mm-hmm. And so nowadays we have, if you've ever been to a funeral, if you've ever done stuff with a funeral, whatever, we put people in vaults now. And so we didn't used to do that. And so, you were buried and then you would decay and you'd become part of the earth again.
Part of the earth, yeah.
And there's biblical precedents to this. We see it talk about this several times. Let me pull this up. There's two different times in Genesis that it talks about this. One is during the curse on Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. in Genesis 3. He says, you'll eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for you are dust and you will return to dust.
Yikes.
Yep. And then Genesis 18 speaks of the same thing in verse 27. There it is. Okay. And then Abraham answered, "Since I have ventured to speak to my Lord, even though I am dust and ashes, suppose the 50 righteous lack five, will you destroy the whole city for lack of five?" Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's worried about his nephew Lot being in there, like, hey, God, and so he goes through the whole numbers, going down. But we come from dust, and we know that we return to dust. Mm-hmm. And so it's a mourning practice in the Bible. When you see this, when people pour the dust on their head, when they pour ashes on their head, it symbolizes the humility that without without God, without the breath of God, mm-hmm. that's all I am. Mm-hmm. I am simply dust or ash. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great reminder of the fragility of our lives. Mm-hmm. That yes, without God, that we are simply just dust or ash. And
you bring up an interesting point. Recently, I just finished the we're going through the Bible in a year, and I'm taking a little bit of a different staggered approach. But I just finished up the Book of Esther. Even when you have like Haman and he's getting ready to essentially commit genocide of all the Jews in that day. Mordecai, it's not even just of mourning for the dead, but just of it, at least with what I observed in that book, of things to come, it sounds like. Because, he tore his robes. I mean, he was wearing ashes and sackcloth, and he was just, no one could get him out of this funk. And because no one could figure out that he was Jewish. And and so Esther was kind of on the spot throughout that whole book about, restoring her people, with King Xerxes, and so that was another interesting thing I learned, just with that as well. So
yeah, another classic example. You could go to the Book of Ezekiel,
sure,
in which you have the Valley of Dry Bones, and without God, it's just a Valley of Dry Bones, but with God, it's brought back, and that's one of the reasons I've always loved the worship song, "Great Are You, Lord." Mm-hmm. It has that famous line in it that it's your breath and our lungs.
So we pour out your praise.
Yeah, and so, we don't necessarily pour dust and ashes on our heads today, but I think the passages in Scripture that talk about that are good reminders that, mm-hmm. yes, without the breath of the Lord, we are nothing. We are just dust and ash. And so the best way that we can use that which we have been given is mm-hmm. to praise the Lord.
The only context I can think of that doing that nowadays is like Ash Wednesday. And Whiting Christian Church doesn't really do, we observe Ash Wednesday in the sense of, with, mm-hmm. Christian culture and different things. But I don't recall any time being in this church where we've done the whole thing with ashes.
Right. So, no, yeah. Nope. And we talked a little bit about that. In one of our early episodes mm-hmm. of the podcast, we talked about Lent and where that came from.
You bet.
And talked about those ashes.
Absolutely. So. Let's move on to our second question here. So this was another interesting one. Should churches today be casting lots?
Yeah. That's a good question. And I think it helps understand, what exactly, we don't mm-hmm. use the term casting lots anymore.
Right.
It's kind of exactly what it sounds like, though. Mm-hmm. Like it's flipping a coin, it's rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Right. It's leaving something up to chance. We view it as chance. They mm-hmm. viewed it differently. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. The short answer is no. The church should not be casting lots today. Mm-hmm. And the last time that we see them casting lots in the Bible. Helps us understand why we shouldn't.
Okay.
And this is found in Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
And so it's Judas
is dead.
Unalived himself.
Yeah.
We'll play nice to the algorithm. He unalived himself.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at replacing him.
Yeah.
So they go and they have, if you read it in Acts 1, they have, well, I think it might be Acts. Acts 1 sounds wrong. I want to say it's actually Acts 2. Let me look at this. I think it's actually Acts 2. I'm going to switch up my Bible as I talk about this. So they had kind of a strict protocol in who they were looking at to replace Judas. Mm-hmm. And through that, they came down to two different people. And in that, they then cast lots to decide between the two. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up falling with Matthias. And so,
can you imagine being the other guy?
Oh yeah. Well, and we're gonna get into that. So let me. I'm losing my mind. Okay, I think it is one. I was right. It is one. Okay. So let me read through this. Acts chapter 1. I'm gonna start in verse 21. It says, "Therefore, from men," and we're gonna go through some of the things that they found necessary. "So therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us," so they had to be there the whole time.
Yeah.
"Through the ministry of Jesus, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, from among these it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who's also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, 'You, Lord, know everyone's hearts. Show which of these two you have chosen to take place in this apostolic ministry, that Judas left to go where he belongs.'" Wink, wink. There's actually debate on whether that's actually talking about hell or just the place of the dead or something.
That might be something we need to take up in another question in a future episode.
Long, long debate in the church of whether or not Judas went to hell. Submit that question. So then, verse 26, "Then they cast lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles." Now, as I said, we today view this as luck. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jews, and we really should even understand it this way, is that nothing is outside of God's control.
Right.
So in putting it to chance, they're saying this is God's decision. It's not going to be impacted by our bias or our favoritism. We're going to leave it in the hands of God. Mm-hmm. And we actually have reference to this in Scripture. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." And so this is why we see it so often in the Old Testament, is because they're trying to figure out God's will. And they're like, well, what better way than to take us out of it and just leave it up to chance? Of it can only be God, because he's the one who directs everything.
Right.
Now, here's why the church should not cast lots anymore. The very next chapter in Acts, chapter 2, is Pentecost.
Yeah, this is where the Holy Spirit comes and the tongues of fire and everyone's speaking different languages. Okay.
Yeah. We don't do it anymore because we no longer have to divine God's will. We have the Spirit within us to help us. And you never see it after this moment.
You know, that's a very interesting observation. I never really thought of it that way. But yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense.
You don't see it after chapter one. They receive the Holy Spirit and they never had to cast lots again, because they didn't have to leave it up to chance. They could use the Spirit to direct them and to show them God's will. And so now, I think reading the Old Testament and reading about them casting lots, there's some wisdom that we can gain in understanding why they did that. And we talked a little bit about that. Now, one of the most famous things in the Old Testament that they used casting lots for is the dividing of the inheritance for the promised land. And so this is in Numbers 26, 33. I can't read my own handwriting. maybe not. Yes, there we go. It is 55. Just kidding. I can read just fine. Numbers 26:55, "The land is to be divided by lot. They will receive an inheritance according to the names of their ancestral tribes. Each inheritance will be divided by among the larger and smaller tribes." Now, part of this, the wisdom of this, is again, it removes the bias and the favoritism.
Because everyone would want to have their own interest in taking land.
Well, and you think about siblings.
Yeah.
Right? If parents have to choose, you know, you move into a new home, you have two kids, there's two rooms, one larger, one smaller.
Yep.
You know, who gets the larger, who gets the smaller? You know, as parents, any way that you try and to decide that, you're going to have one child that's going to be upset and one,
there will be conflict.
You know, that's going to be happy. And you know, what if you could just say, hey, if you guys agree to it, we're going to flip a coin and whoever wins
gets it.
Gets it.
Yeah.
And so it's not bias, it's not favoritism. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is how it is, and we're going to agree to it, and it's a simple way to end a conflict and move forward.
Yep.
So I think there's some wisdom in that. Now, mm-hmm. so while I say churches should not practice casting lots for the sake of divining God's will, I don't think that means that we can't use this wisdom to help solve arguments and divisiveness within the church.
Sure.
Churches are funny places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I've seen, you know, like carpet color mm-hmm. almost kill a church.
Carpet color.
Yeah. Picking the color of a carpet, I've seen it divide churches.
Yikes.
And, you know, you have these two parties, you know, we want lime green and this one, no, we want burnt orange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, neither one of those are the correct answer. But, but you know, they're fighting over this. And, you know, what if we use the wisdom of, you know, of the same thing? Like, hey, the church needs to be unified. Mm-hmm. We need to not squabble over mm-hmm. silly things like this.
Yeah.
Okay. If you agree to it, mm-hmm. we're going to flip a coin. And that's just going to be it.
It's going to be it.
You know, and so, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong in that sense because it's mm-hmm. not a major spiritual decision. It's not the direction of the church that, yep. you know, it's we do it for the simple sake of keeping unity mm-hmm. within the church. And it's a simple way to maybe solve an argument and to move forward.
An interesting way to enter information into the church archives.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Excellent.
How did we name our church? We flipped a coin. No, don't do that.
Don't do it.
But yeah, and so like, so, you know, hiring a new pastor, don't flip a coin.
Yeah.
Seek the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Mm-hmm. Yes. Carpet color. Yeah, you could probably flip a coin and it'd be fine. You know, let's move on.
Well, and I also think it also begs saying that, you know, I mean, scripture talks about several times, like, if you want wisdom, ask for it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, instead of leaving it to a coin flip, you know, sure. moving forward,
why
not, you know, I mean, we encourage our congregation to pray, you know, as part of as part of the whole Bless App campaign, all this other stuff that we're doing to, you know, to seek the Lord's wisdom on reaching people that haven't been reached yet making church decisions. That's a huge cornerstone of what our church stands for.
To me, like, if it ever comes to a coin flip, this is last chance on the dumbest of things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we exhaust all other options on this dumbest of choices, mm-hmm. and then we flip the coin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just because there's the simple wisdom of, hey, let's get this over, unified back together, and keep moving forward on important things.
Keep the body as one.
Yeah.
Excellent. Are we ready for our last question for
the day? Yeah.
So this is a fun one. Yeah. I was just like, okay, we could see this going a whole bunch of different ways. So I'm curious to see what your response is.
Yeah.
If Paul had a social media account, what kind of content would he post?
Yeah. This is a fun question.
I sense a lot of, this is a fun question. I think, I mean, this is just a personal opinion, but it would be like, I would equate this to like the letters being written to all the churches.
Yeah. So I think when I kind of went like app by app with this a little bit of, you know, so like I think Paul would love X/Twitter.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be much of a dancing guy on TikTok.
No. Yeah. No. I don't think so. I don't think he'd touch TikTok.
No.
That's just brain rot.
That's more David's realm.
There you go. Paul's or David's getting undignified on TikTok. I think he'd do extremely well on X/Twitter. I think he would, you know, have some really mic drop, short character truths, you know, statements that he's mm-hmm. posting and, you know. Probably from prison, right? He's probably dropping these from prison.
Yeah.
Hashtag to live is Christ, to die is gain. and so, you know, I think Paul would do extremely well on X, especially when in during his prison days. You know, he I only get a couple, I only get 1 minute a day or whatever on social media. So here you go. Here's my truth bomb of the day.
You know, Paul and Silas singing with a Roman jailer, you know, just like doing selfies and stuff.
I could also see Paul doing a travel vlog of his missionary journeys on Instagram. you know, posting a selfie stuck in the ocean, shipwrecked again. I got to stop traveling by boat.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I think that'd be hilarious. I could also see him being active on Reddit.
I'll admit I'm not too familiar with Reddit.
So really Reddit is where the internet goes to long form arguments. And so there's just the most random things, and you can get into the most random debates on Reddit. And
that does sound like something of his wheelhouse.
And so so I could see him going into some long form debates with skeptics. Because that's where you're like most of the skeptics you're gonna find on Reddit. Like that's where the Pharisees would hang out, I feel like, is on Reddit. And so, you know, he would go challenge them, and you know, that's where he really flexes his argument skills and some of his skills there. He might use Facebook Marketplace to sell his tents. You know, post to his GoFundMe account of, you know, hey, going on another mission
trip.
Buy
me a coffee.
You know, you know, I don't know if he would do much else on Facebook, but, and then he's definitely using MailChimp to do some email blasts at churches. You know, you get that email from Paul, you better watch out. You're probably in trouble.
You're hosed.
And so, he's definitely, you know, watch out, Galatia. He's coming for you. He's getting all the emails. But no, I think this, this is a fun question. And I also think it raises up a slightly more important topic of, you know, what should Christians... How should they be on social media? Should they be on social media? How do we deal with this? It's a huge thing. It's everywhere.
It's a big cultural thing just because, I mean, you think, I mean, my mind immediately goes to people like, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so forgive me, but Stuart Knechtel.
I
think
him and his dad, Cliff.
Him and his dad, Cliff. I think of Tim Tebow. I think of... a lot of pastors nowadays, or a lot of ministers, I mean, you think of Stephen Furtick, you think of, I mean, so many different...
All sorts of. I don't... Have you ever listened to Wes Huff? He's a younger apologist guy. Super brilliant.
Frank Turek's another one. Another apologist,
And, so I think, you know, like, man... How should we be on social media? Should we be on social media? Are big answers or big questions? And I think it comes down to individual people. You know, because there's a lot of things to consider. I several years ago greatly stepped back my
social media
stuff. I deleted my original Facebook account and kind of really, it was unhealthy for me at that time period, and that's why I did it. Part of it is the addictive nature of it. Doom scrolling is a real
scroll
thing.
Scroll factor,
You know, like I was starting to get carpal tunnel in my thumbs, you know. But no, there's, you know, and the other thing, it was not, you know, ideally as Christians, it would help us connect to people. And rather what it was doing was causing an anger and a rage in my heart that did not help me love people at all. And so like I need to take a step back. And so I kind of created just a dummy Facebook account. Like I have my Facebook, I have zero friends. I, you know, don't add me. I don't add people anymore. and so I use it just so I can post for the church. And kind of the same with Instagram. I only have an account just so I can keep doing the encounter stuff and I don't touch things like Snapchat or TikTok. And, you know, I am a sucker for YouTube. I love YouTube videos. But but I think there's those things to – sorry, I'll let you speak here in a second.
No, you're good.
I think there's those things to look out for. Outrage culture.
Yes.
Right? Social media drives outrage culture that we should be divided and angry against each other all the time. And we have to be careful of that because it works and it's very effective. Again, addiction – And then also how we represent Christ. I've seen some, that was one of the things that made me the angriest with people is not the non-Christians and what they were posting or their mm-hmm. hate or whatever. It was the Christians who posted terrible things, did not represent Christ well, mm-hmm. And were pushing people away from the church because of how dumb they were on social media.
Certainly.
And so those are all things to consider. So sorry, I was.
Yeah, no, you're good. The one thing I would just add is, this is purely anecdotal. This is not with any research or anything like that. But with what I have personally observed is that whenever I try to communicate with people, messages or intentions of messages get missed with if you read something in text versus if you're speaking to someone face to face or, you know, if you're reading text or, for example, you know, I had a couple of friends in college who broke up with girls over text message.
Oh, yeah.
And that just, I mean, needless to say that it was a very regrettable decision. And it just, I always like to try and communicate with people where you have multiple elements of, or elements of communication so that way nothing gets missed. If you, you know, body language is a big thing that we talk about even in coaching and in healthcare, because if someone says something, but their body language says something else, then that is a prompt for us to ask additional questions and, you know, to reflect more questions back at patients and clients, just because, you know, we want to make sure that we are on the same page, because if they're thinking one thing, and then as a clinician, I'm thinking of something different, that doesn't allow for a good patient-provider relationship either.
Yeah, it's designed to make communication easier, but we miss so many of the nuances mm-hmm. in communication when you're just texting mm-hmm. K, you know, period. Which I know if I get that from my wife, I'm in big trouble. And so I've learned that through trial and error. Mm-hmm. Here's my growing thought on this. You know, again, I think it's individual. I think it's, you know, how every person is different. And, you know, there are some people, right, there are some Christians who are really good on social media. They're very effective. They know how to use it well for mm-hmm. the kingdom of God. And you know, I do think that's something that Paul would do. Paul was known for going into the town square where everybody was teaching, talking. It was, you know, that was the communication hub of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where he would go, and that's where he would teach every time he went to a new city. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, social media is kind of the new town square. Mm-hmm. It's where people go to talk and to communicate. And, you know, I think of in our own town, right? That's, you know, the Facebook community page is where everybody on the town talks mm-hmm. and does stuff. And so, you know, I do think it's important for us as Christians to have a presence in that.
Yes.
And, you know, we try to post things for the church and, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, we have people that communicate from the church in that group and whatnot. But no, I think Paul would take advantage of social media mm-hmm. For the sake of the gospel. And I think I think other Christians should do this, and I think there are Christians that do this well. Mm-hmm. And we've already named some of those, and that was kind of one of the goals with this podcast.
Yep.
Is, you know, we want to be able to offer content, good Christian content for the sake of our congregation. To help connect Sunday to Monday. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want to just show up on Sundays and that's that's our only spiritual connection in the week. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to offer things for our congregation throughout the week and anybody else because, you know, hey, if we could reach a larger audience, why not reach a larger audience?
Absolutely. And the other thing to talk about too is there's not enough physical time on a Sunday morning. Even just with sermon prep or different things like that. And there's... Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things I really enjoy, I mean, this is, again, personally, but being able to talk with people after service or, like, before service, even during Sunday school, because you get to engage with people on how they're doing in their lives, you know. And, again, this is talking back to the Bless app that we're trying to really encourage people to check out within our church, too, is that, you know, what can we do to increase contact points so that way our congregation has the support and the prayer network and being able to build Christ-like communities, you know, one person at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a huge, it's a huge undertaking. But again, if this allows us to have more reach and just to, you know, give people encouragement and a blessing on their drive to work or something right. like that, it's worth it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's important. And so, you know, you talked about like the sermon stuff and that was like one of the original ideas when I was thinking about offering some video content yep. in between Sundays was, you know, a lot of times writing during the week, you have things that end up on the cutting room floor mm-hmm. That just don't make it into the sermon. And so that was one of the original ideas is, you know, like, hey, what if we just expanded on the sermon and talked about some of those things? And
yep.
But, you know, I also, I have, you know, media content that I like for my Christian life. Jeff Winger is mm-hmm. a pastor who does awesome YouTube content. And this is, I apologize. I basically stole this format from him, mm-hmm. you know. He does a Q&A every Friday where people can ask questions and he mm-hmm. offers biblical answers. And that's his whole shtick is thinking biblically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I've thought about, you know, sending in questions. I was like, there's thousands of people submitting questions every Friday. Like, I'm not going to get one in. And so it made me think, you know, like how many people in our congregation have questions that they would love to have answered, but they just don't know how to get it answered. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to find the resources for that.
Yeah. Where to start.
Yeah. What if we could provide something towards that end?
Amen.
And so, you know, that's where I'm like, hey, we could do that. That's yeah. a simple thing. It's a passion of mine to study the Bible and answer questions. And, you know, I just tell him something and he gets excited.
Yeah.
And so
we go full throttle.
Yeah. 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 But no, I think, you know, in your own personal lives as a Christian, you have to evaluate the impact that social media is having on you. Because, yes, if it's having a negative impact, if you're too impacted by outrage culture, if you know that, like, it's just an impulse anytime I pull out my phone to start scrolling, mm-hmm. Maybe you need to take a step back. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to take a step back, spend some time apart. Work on some of those self-control things. You know, we don't want to be mastered by anything.
Right.
You know, but maybe you're a person who is good at social media and you can offer a positive, not to be Caleb, positive encouraging voice on the internet and in the town square of being able to love people and show them Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I do think Paul would use social media to the benefit of the gospel.
I think it's brilliant, and I think we've covered a lot of really good content today. Any last parting thoughts before we close this out?
No, just thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, and we hope that it's something that helps your week and yes, brings you closer to Christ.
Amen to that. And again, if you have any additional questions that you'd like to have included as part of our podcast, go ahead and text your questions to 833-430-6152. They're completely anonymous. We don't keep track of who sends what. We want to provide this as a platform to have questions answered by viewers like you. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Signing off on the Pew Review.